This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
It is the Wolves fan show, the first fan show of the new year and of the new decade. What a show we have for you, because Wolves, obviously in different form last couple of games, but got the double over City, their European adventure back in February. I'm very, very excited about this one and what's going on. We've going to be joined by Raya Hooper from the Wolves Fancast to tell you everything about it. But more importantly, you're listening to me. You're listening to Raya. We both want to hear from you this evening. You tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. You can ask Raya a question, the Wolves Fancast a question, me. Have your say on the biggest issues at your club right now. Get anything off your chest. What have you seen in the performances so far? Who are you expecting to arrive in this January transfer window? Or maybe trim that squad, see some outgoings before you get some incomings, because Wolves, they've got a push on their hands. We heard it earlier, even on the Newcastle fan show. Could they make that top four? Could Wolves really and truly kick on? And they are in that European mix. They obviously done wonders in their group. Now they're waiting for another arrival. It's a really good one. Newcastle on the weekend. We just done the Newcastle fan show. They play each other on the weekend. Newcastle fans thinking they may get a result, but you, the Wolves fans, it's your takeover. Have your say. Can you get a result also? Has been disappointing, though. I'm going to start it on that note. Losing to Watford in that busy Christmas period. It was a new manager, Bantz. It was Nigel Pearson. But these are the results that when you're going and you're aiming for the heights, those lofty expectations, you need to be winning games like that. Obviously, losing to Liverpool, beating City, the double over City, VAR playing its part there. We're going to be talking all about that, of course. But it's those kind of games that maybe Wolves will look at the end of the season and think, this is where the season turned for them. And now, of course, they get another game because they drew with Man United on the weekend. Man United failing to register a single shot in that game. First time that's happened to them since 2015. 5 years for Man United there. But Wolves, I think they've played something like 40 games already. Well, now they're going to have to play one more because they go to Old Trafford in that FA Cup replay. But it is 3 games without a win for Wolves. But it's not a worry. It's not a mini slump. It's not in different form, but it will turn around. And as I said, I'm now delighted to be joined by Raya Hooper from the Wolves Fancast. Raya, always a pleasure to be joined by you. Happy New Year. Firstly, how are you?
Yeah, Happy New Year to you. Really good, really good. Had a good Christmas. So, yeah, just looking forward to, I suppose, the back end of the season from a Wolves perspective. So, no, all good. All good to be back on and raring to go.
Yeah, raring to go. Obviously, no win in three now for Wolves, right? Let's take it back a little bit, because obviously me and you, we get to do the Wolves fan show each and every week, and we dissect the games and we look towards the games that are coming up. And I've got to say, I was a bit gutted when it was Christmas and we had our little break, because not only did you get that double on City, but Wolves, if it's fair to say, they've been involved in quite a few VAR incidents. What have you made of them?
I know, it's crazy, and I think we spoke over the Christmas period. There was so much going on, and I think we were in the news with VAR. I think for me, in a nutshell, it's not necessarily, it's probably an opinion shared by many, it's not necessarily about the decision being right, it's just about the emotion, it's about the moment, and you have this bizarre situation. You know, you look at the Liverpool game as one example, out of many, where you've got a guy in Pedro Neto with 19, he's making his Premier League debut, he scores in front of the cop, he runs over, does a knee slide, and then there's that awkward moment where it's like, yeah, you might want to just hold back a moment, and we're taking that out of the game, really. So for me, and I know we could probably do a whole show on it, just in VAR and the merits and the cons of it, but To me, it's just frustrating. We probably didn't get the rub of the green, but I think I don't go with the idea that things even themselves out over the course of the season, because that's just not logical. But yeah, some will go for you and some against. But on a pure general note, for me, in my opinion of it, it's I understand the context of getting decisions right, how important it is, and how valuable, particularly in the Premier League, and money's at stake, jobs are at stake, and livelihoods are at stake, but it just kills the game, doesn't it, for me? And, you know, particularly when you have moments like that where you want to celebrate and you have to withhold it, it just takes a sting out of what is such an emotive game that we love.
Yeah, it's incredible, really. And you know, maybe it's sort of papered over the cracks of VAR, because obviously that first game, incredible. Edison sent off, and yet City are down to 10 men. They take a 2-goal lead. Obviously, the VAR penalty with Sterling. Should it have been a penalty? And then encroachment, he gets to retake the penalty. He gets saved again. He follows up with the rebound. 2-0 down, you're thinking, oh, unbelievable. We've got 10 men. You come back 3-2, double over City. I mean, absolute scenes, isn't it, right?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's mad, really, because I think after that game, I kind of said nothing surprises me anymore with this football club, and I've probably said that exact same thing, but in a very different way. When we were going through, you know, the bad spell with the relegations, where, you know, one thing after another, and you know, we weren't happy with things. But the actual reverse of that now is never all us out, you know, and I think that's the key. You know, you look at that game, and it was a crazy one, really, because with Edison being sent off, how can I put it? It didn't really change us. In a way, it could have an adverse effect, where we spoke about before about Wolves being a counter-attack side. So it changed the dynamic of the game, whereby they were obviously down to 10 men. So it was a little bit of a different plan, whereas I think we were probably more comfortable with 11. And then they get the goals, as you say. We have the situation with the penalties, and you kind of think, well, to any other side, it might be heads down, you know, this is just not our evening as it was. But yeah, the character that they showed to go back. But as I say, it doesn't surprise me, because there's so many examples. I think statistically, you know, we get goals late in games, and you can dissect what that's down to. But yeah, nothing surprises me, but absolutely crazy. And really a memorable night at Molyneux, that was.
Yeah, it was an incredible night, an incredible game. And like you just said with the VAR, oh, you can't say it evens itself out over the year. It's not logical. And sometimes you can't look at standalone games and go, is this the full picture of the side? Because, you know, ups and downs on a season. But you have done the double over the defending champions. You spoke about the character. And this is the level that Wolves are operating at, or can operate at, isn't it, Ryan?
Well, no, absolutely, and I think this is the thing. And I mean, I even saw, you know, prior to that game, I think it was advertised as sort of a potential giant killing, and I just thought that was really patronising, because, as you rightly say, this is the level that we're at, and, you know, this isn't a case of, you know, Wolves in the lower leagues and have got a plum FA Cup tie, and we welcome Man City, and we pull the red carpet out, and, you know, we're all quick to get the autographs. This is like, well, this is where we're at, and this is where we're playing, and this is where we're competing. And we've had a good record against City, really, over the last few years, going back to, I think, the cup competitions as well. Maybe it's just Nuno against Pep, and he likes to tactically see how things are. In the reverse fixture, you saw Traore, and he did a great job on Sterling. And again, he was so effective again. So, yeah, I mean, a massive, you know, double if you're going to do it against City. I mean, it's absolutely huge. So. No, but it didn't surprise me. It really didn't surprise me. And that's not arrogance, and that's just Wolves of, well, no, 2020. This is the Wolves of this era, where we're more than capable of getting a result. I mean, playing United in the week, we were favourites, and that to me is still a little bit crazy, but I kind of get it, because that's the level that we're at right now.
Yeah, and that's the incredible thing. You mentioned that some say, oh, giant killing, and you found it a bit patronising. But I don't think that's from the fans. And the benefit of doing all the fan shows and Love Sport Radio, right, is that everyone goes, oh, Wolves, difficult game. Really, really good side. Play good football, you know, well-disciplined, talented side. You know, no one wants to go to Molyneux. It's not really from a fan's perspective. It's more maybe media or people basically just aren't watching them, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right. I think, you know, I think there's a healthy respect there from fans, and you know, alluding to that, I remember when we were drawn against United in the cup, and I saw some of the comments on Twitter from United fans like, "Oh God, not Wolves," sort of thing, you know, and yeah, so I think you're right, and obviously, as you say, you've got the benefit of speaking to people, and I speak to them, and there is that healthy respect there. It's probably just a lazy narrative, which can be led in some parts of the media, but I think the healthy respect is there, and I think people who watch the football week in, week out, and see the way in which we play, recognise, you know, that this isn't a one-season thing or a real sort of short thing. This could potentially be just the start of things. So, yeah, I think there's a healthy respect, and I think we've earned that, and we've shown that with the performances that we've put in this season and last.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to talk a little bit about that Liverpool game as well, because that was a VAR. You know, obviously, Wolves thought they were back in it offside, and Nuno, he didn't even show his disdain, really, because he kind of sensed it was coming. What did you make of that one?
Yeah, it's mad. I mean, there was sort of two parts to that, wasn't there? So there was the Lallana goal.
The handball. I'm even forgetting that was handball for me.
Yeah. And then I think there was a lead up with Van Dijk in that, and they determined it a second phase of play. I mean, I think it's just frustrating. As I say, I mean, you know, decisions are going to go for and against you, and we're going to see that. But I'd like to talk objectively, whichever way it goes, to say, well, you know, it really takes a lot of the heat out of the game and the pure emotion. So, and God, I mean, it is literally fine lines with Neto's goal. You know, there's a lot of talk about armpits and so forth, and what part of body you can score with, and so forth. Really, there should sort of be a little bit more clarity on that. So yeah, frustrating, and certainly in the context of that game as well. I think we're unfortunate not to at least got a point out that game as well. So if we would have scored at that time, then, you know, that could have affected the outcome, certainly.
Yeah, obviously, three games without a win now. And you mentioned and touched upon the game with Man United, then saying, oh, not Wolves again. It's going to be Wolves again, because obviously you go to Old Trafford now in that replay. But Wolves holding Man United to no shots on target. That is the first time for Man United since 2015, 5 years, right? I know they're going through a bad time, but that's incredible, isn't it?
I think it is. I think you're right, though, to say they are going through a bad spell. And I think when I looked at both lineups, I fancied us. And I think, you know, I spoke earlier about us being favourites. And that was probably down to the fact that I think we had more all-round experience in our side than United did. You know, they had Rashford on the bench, for example, that they brought on to look to change the game. But it shows the confidence that we have. We'll see how things fare in the replay. We'll see what sort of side. I don't think either side probably wanted the replay. I know both managers talked about they would have been happy if it would have been settled on the night and gone to penalties. And you know what? We could even be facing them in the Europa this season as well. So, you know, we're doing well against United. They're, as you say, they're going through a tough spell at this moment in time. But yeah, whoever we play, beat United, going through an indifferent spell or being a side that's doing well, you know, I fancy us. So that wasn't a great performance against United, to be honest. So hopefully there's a better performance in the return leg.
Well, that's the thing in that return leg. It's the last thing that both teams really needed. Obviously, both in that Europa League, but Wolves starting a lot earlier in their season. Will we see a different lineup? Because, you know, it's just another game that Wolves don't necessarily need.
Has to be. I think they really do. I mean, it was crazy, really, with the schedule as it stood at the start of the season, knowing the games that we had. And I looked at that Christmas period at the start of the season, as we all do, when the fixtures come out, realising that we'd got City and then Liverpool within a week, and then TV had its say, and then we had those games within 44 hours. So absolutely crazy. So, but I think there has to be. Obviously, we've got the window coming up, so that may be an opportunity for new starters to come on board and freshen things up. But I think there has to be. But again, it's an opportunity. And for me, it's the FA Cup, and the FA Cup is still fantastic. And, you know, I think you've got to respect it. But it will be a mixed bag, I think. I think there'll be changes, but I don't think it'll be to the level that we saw in the Carabao Cup, where, you know, he literally played the under-15s in that one. So I think there'll be a mixed bag of experience and youth in that one, because he's acutely aware of this schedule. And as things sort of take their pace in the Europa, then, he'll have to prioritise, I think.
Yeah, and you alluded to those January transfer window signings. Could we see a few incomings? We're going to be speaking all about that after the break. And remember, we're going to a break now. Have a think about who you think's incoming, who you want to see in a Wolves shirt, and let us know. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558.
Giving your team a voice, Love Sport Radio.
You're listening to the Wolves Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, still joined by Rye Hooper from the Wolves Fancast, and we can still be joined by you this evening. Call us 0208 7020 558 or tweet us at Love Sport Radio, and we'll put your questions on air and see what Rye makes of those. It's the January transfer window, though. Silly season is upon us. Before we talk about potential incomings that Wolves will want to add to their squad, because they're fighting on all fronts. You've let go Ivan Cavallero. Fulham have now signed him on a permanent deal, 4.5-year deal. Obviously, he was on loan at the Cottage. Did you kind of see this deal coming?
Yeah, I think so. I think in respect of Cav, it's one of those really whereby I think if we are to go on and be as successful as the owners want us to be, there'll be players within the frozen area, if we call it that, they'll come in and then they'll get replaced. I think, you know, it's more sort of evolution. Cav's a very good player, and I think still a Premiership player, but we've brought in Neto. Jourdain's been unfortunate because he's been injured. So I think just naturally there was a replacement there. So we've made good money on him. I think we've more than doubled our money. I think he's been sold for $15 million. So, really good player, and I think he's someone that the fans will always be fond of, because, as I say, I think when we look back in years to come, we'll look at the players at the start of this era, players who helped us get into the Premier League. So Cav is a player that was always well liked at the club, so he'll be well liked, but certainly not unexpected. And I think it probably heightens the need for other players, but the fact that he's been on loan this year already at Fulham, he's kind of been out of the picture anyway. And I think Neto has been his replacement, and with him in the side of late, then I think fans are generally happy.
Yeah, and before we talk about potential players that could arrive to Molineux, another player that's maybe seemingly on his way out, and Ryan, I've got to be honest, I'm not sure if I fully understand this one. Cotrone could be on his way out already. It seems strange. Is there truth in this? You know, why hasn't he given him more time, or have Wolves already decided that, you know, he's not up to the standard, and he's not cutting the mustard, even if it is only 5-6 months in?
I think it's the latter. I think you're right. I think it does seem, you know, a crazy one in respect of making a big investment in the summer, and then, you know, as you say, only a few months in, and then the decision's already been made. It looks likely that he will be moving. I think he's been in talks with Florentina. I think they've broken down. As I understand it, I can't speak for him personally, but from the information as we have it, he struggled to settle. You know, I think the language has been an issue with him, being the only sort of Italian here. I think only one of the coaches speak Italian. I think he's failed to adapt to life in the country. But also, I think from an on-the-pitch perspective, I think the way in which we play and the system that we have, I think if we play two up top, then there's a chance for him. But realistically, the only potential place that I could see him in this side would be for Jimenez. So, you know, we all know how well Jimenez has done. So, really, you know, whoever comes in, unless they're really of a big quality, are only really going to be backup. I think with Adamo, with how well he's played, and I think with Jota returning, he's just really been frozen out from a football perspective. But there's also, I think, an underlying issue that this is a young lad who I don't particularly wanted to move. AC Milan were, and may still be, I don't know, in a little bit of financial trouble, and we made an offer, and that was that, really, and he travelled to us. What I've seen of him is very little because of the short time he's been here, and what I've seen is a very able striker in terms of chasing lost causes, and I think, you know, he seemed to have a decent attitude on the pitch, but I think he's been frozen out in terms of the personnel that we've got on the pitch, and I think there's perhaps underlying issues where, and it can happen with all players, as we know, all clubs, particularly those that are young, where it perhaps just doesn't work out for them and it's not the right environment. So he may well go back to Italy, and that'll be that. So, yeah, we'll see. But I think, again, it really means I think we need at least another striker to fill that void.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it, Ryan? Because obviously you mentioned he's young and maybe didn't want to leave Italy in the first place. But if Wolves are to attack all of these competitions, you know, they're going to need players to come in and contribute, suspensions, injuries. And one of the things that does get labelled at Wolves is quite a small squad. Nuno doesn't like to rotate as much. So they're going to need that depth, aren't they?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think what's been telling with Cotroni is that there's been opportunities whereby the game perhaps hasn't been going well for us, and we look at somebody to come on from the bench, and he's actually gone for more of a Vinagre, or, you know, he's gone for a midfielder instead of a forward. So I think it's probably the latter in your opening piece there about Cotroni, where perhaps he's just made his mind up on him and felt actually there's better viable options. So whilst, you know, you need those players within the squad, you know, he played Ashley Seale, who's done really well in the under-23s recently against United. So the fact that he plays him ahead of a big money signing, I think, tells you sort of all you need to know on that one. I think we're linked with, I think it's Hwang from Red Bull Salzburg, but I know they've sold a couple of their forwards, so whether or not that happens in January, it might be more of a summer signing.
Yeah,
but I'd be very surprised.
Who else have they been linked with, Ryan? Because it's sometimes always the way, you know, fans are hearing certain names or they want certain names to arrive and go, we really need a midfielder, we need a winger, and then your team goes and signs a left back.
I know, and I think this is it, really. Wolves, as they are now, I mean, in years gone by, you'd kind of hear a lot of stuff in the grapevine, but they keep their cards very close to their chest. So the only real sort of signings that have been linked with it, to say, is, I think, Hang Hee Chan, his name is, I think he did well against Liverpool for Salzburg this year. He's been linked, he's 23, so I think he's got decent credentials. And I think there's a young striker called Campana. He's been linked, but look, I'll be honest, I can't say I know too much about them other than a quick sort of Wikipedia search, so it might be someone that we're not expecting. But I know Fellwell, who's the sporting director at Wolves, talked over the last couple of years about free transfer windows, so my suspicion is that there may have been players at the start of this season or prior to that who perhaps hadn't made their minds up about Wolves, and I think with the benefit of the start that we've had this season, they may go back in for those players and say, well, look, you know, do you not want to be involved in it? You know, we've shown that we can compete. We're in the later stages of the Europa. So I think we're a good selling point to the club. But, you know, we're fortunate with the links that we've got with Jorge Mendes. And so I think there'll be a good scouting network out there. But, yeah, very few names that I'm aware of. I don't think there'll be lots of signings. Yes, we've got a small squad, but that's by design. That's how Nuno likes it. But I do think we do need a few. And as I say, certainly a striker, centre midfielder and a centre half. As you say, it wouldn't surprise me if they don't go for any of those, but I think that's where we do strengthen. I think there will be a few coming in.
Yeah, a few arrivals maybe on the horizon, and it is Newcastle on the weekend, right? We just done the Newcastle fan show. One of the guests, Sam, said Wolves too good, we're going to struggle, and the other said, I don't know, that in different form Newcastle may get a result here. What are you thinking?
Be looking to win, and not just looking to win. I think there's an expectation, if I'm honest. I think you'll be more versed in terms of Newcastle from, as you say, your chats with them. But from my view of Newcastle is, I don't think Bruce is doing too bad a job from what I see. They can spring a result. But I think with the benefit of a little bit of time between the last league game, whereby we're able to rest some of our key starters, talking Traore, Moutinho and so forth, then coming back into the fold at home where we've been so convincing, then I've got to fancy us to win.
Yeah, what is your score prediction, Ryan?
I'll go with 2-0. I'll go with 2-0. I do fancy us, but we'll see. I think, yeah, we've had a few indifferent results, but the performances have been there, and I think against Newcastle, to be absolutely honest, our best 11 against theirs competing, then you've got to fancy us.
Yeah, right, I'm going to have to say I do agree. Wolves getting back to winning ways this weekend. Right, it was the first Wolves fan show of the new year and the new decade. A pleasure to start it with you and talk everything at Wolves. It's a show I always look forward to. It's a show I look forward to doing next week. And remember, you can be part of it. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. It's the Wolves fans, Wolves fan show takeover, and we want you to have your say.
This is Love Sport.